Today on Real Radio.
Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword. People, David didn't have a sword. Whose sword is it? He took Goliath's sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him. Notice the stone didn't kill him. Who killed him? David killed him by the power of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel tells that famous story about Goliath and, of course, David. It's one of the many life and death struggles between Israel and its enemies. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now to bring us more from chapter 17 called Winning the Battles of Life.
No earthly planning. None of that stuff. Well, let's go out there. We sing this song, the battle belongs to the Lord. And then why do we go about to fight our spiritual battles with worldly implements? The battle belongs to the Lord. Let's pray. All right, now pull out your checkbooks. It almost seems like the prayer part was a covering just to get to the checkbook. Make that pen look like a sword. And you write out that victory. Just write it out. Wait a minute. No fleshly manipulation, no things being played with. David takes off because he knows there's going to be a war, and it's going to be between the God of Israel and this uncircumcised Philistine. And that's what's going on in your life and my life. Why is this thing so difficult to kill in my life? Answer, I've been trying to kill it on my own. Come on, let's fess up. I've been praying so hard, and I still got the problem. I've tried everything. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. We're so funny. It's kind of like, you know, we discuss spiritual battles like backaches. I learned this weekend how to, I keep going to call it snowboard, but this is the wrong time of the year. Wakeboard. I fell in love with wakeboarding yesterday. Was it yesterday? Doesn't matter. First time I ever did in my life. It's very cool. You know what happened the next day? 1,200 milligrams of Advil. That's no joke. I could hardly get out of bed. I used physical powers to do something. And then finally, I told my daughter, I said, you know how I got up this time? Because, man, when are you going to get up? Okay, we're tired of pulling the boat around to pull you up. When are you going to get up? And, you know, being the spiritual guy that I am, I said, God, please help me to get up. Please just pick me up. And I got up. And they're going, oh, he got up finally. And I'm thinking, oh, God, thank you, Lord. Now, they may think, well, he just hung in there and persevered. No. The boy was praying. Lord, help me. But we go to our spiritual battles in our lives. Whatever it might be, our thought life. And we try to do, you know, just think a happy thought. We hum some friendly Disney tune. It doesn't work. You're to take the Makaira. Do you know what the Makaira is? The Makaira is the sword of the Spirit, which is the specific word of God to use in our life's battles. When you are having temptation thoughts or you're having this going on in your life, whatever it might be, don't quote, as I said before, don't quote Genesis 1:1. It doesn't work that way. Quote a specific verse, like go to Corinthians and say right then and there, Lord, your Bible says to bring every thought under the captivity of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm bringing this evil thought that's in my head under the captivity of Jesus Christ. And I pray that in your name, Lord. And you say, Pastor Jeff, I've done that. And what do you think the answer is, class? Do it again. And again, and again, and again. You know, I don't know, and why is it in church? You can have such a happy day, and you come to church, and we got worship, and people are praising the Lord, and we're just blessed, and some you can be sitting in church and have the most perverse thought in your mind that's not even, I mean, what is that? Two of you know what I'm talking about? It's like, where did that come from? It's like this photon. I don't think like this normal. What was that thought? Why did I think this way? There's a spiritual war going on. And David takes off. I mean, the Israeli army must be going, what is he doing? There's some guy standing there holding an umbrella over Saul, King Saul's head, with the sun shining real bright. The armies are chanting and ranting and stuff, and Goliath's there, and David, he's getting ready for battle. He runs. This is amazing to me. People, Christian, we would say, if we're a bunch of guys together, buck up. It's come on, you know what? The Lord's our strength. He's given us the Bible. Let's go forward. It's going to work in Him. Let's go. And we get up and we move. It's hard to do, everybody, on your own. We talked about that on Sunday. It's hard to do on your own. I think God's designed it so we can't do it on our own. God's designed the church to be an organism that lives together. And a healthy sheep, by the way, have you ever seen healthy sheep? You can always tell a healthy sheep. A healthy sheep is always looking for the opposite sex sheep. You know what I mean? If it's a male sheep, is that the right term? You vets are going to all yell at me later. You know, you got a boy sheep and a girl sheep, whatever those things are called, sheep. And when the sheep are healthy, the sheep, it's like, hey, we're healthy. You know what I mean? We're feeling pretty good here. We're well fed, got nice safe pastures, things are quiet. We've got a good shepherd over there taking care of things. Sheepdogs are all cool, everything's quiet. Hey, you want to go down to the creek for a little drink, you know, there in the brook and talk a little bit, and healthy sheep produce sheep. When sheep get together, you get more sheep. David's a shepherd. He knows how to take care of things. You know what? Yeah, that's right. He killed a lion and a bear. Oh, no, no. Last time, remember, he said he did it by the power of God. And if God delivered these enemies into my hands, he certainly delivered this man who is taunting the God of Israel. We're living in very prophetic times. Watch what happens. A tremendous age. The Bible tells us that God will stand for Israel and all the world will not. Ezekiel tells us in this Ezekiel battle that God will show up, as it were, and then it says the Jews will know in Israel that God sits upon his throne. It implies, listen, it implies that they do not know that now. Guess what? 90%+ of Israelis in Israel today don't even believe in God. They teach the Bible as a storybook. Ask Steve if I'm telling you something different. They teach it as something that was made up to justify an existence of the Israeli people. They don't even believe. And yet that's exactly what the prophet said would happen. You turn to God and God will fight your victories. It's a very awesome moment. Verse 39, then David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone and he slung it. 49, and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone, listen to the graphic of this, is beautiful. Guys, you gotta love it. The stone sank into his forehead. It sank in. It wasn't a poof. It was a poof. The cool part is, listen, read the Bible very carefully. The stone didn't kill him. Read on. Let's be careful. Remember that, but watch. The stone didn't do the killing. Watch. It stunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. The "and killed him" is the cool part. Now, just before, I'm going to ask them to put this graphic up. It's very, very cool. Take a look at this. This is the cutest thing. Just before Goliath falls down, this could have been what the scene looked like. If you look to the screen and I'm looking for my, there you go. Look at, is it not? Now, that's just about as big as our mortgage payment looks. that's just about as big as that health problem feels. You say, Jack, you know what? We're having a great time going through the Bible tonight, exciting and all that stuff. But you know what? My father is suffering from this or from that, as I am this evening. My sister is suffering horribly from a stroke. It's terrible. You want to cry. But sometimes we see our enemies like that little graphic, David standing there. Now, the Bible is very, very clear to always point out that we always appear to be the underdogs. Did you know that? God wants us that way. The underdog. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30 and 31, it says, "The Lord your God who goes before you will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness when you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his own son. In all the way that you went until you came to this place today." People, that's God. Did you hear what he's saying in Deuteronomy 1:30 and 31? Come on, I'll carry you. Christians, let's wake up. I tell you, we're going to wake up. It's better to wake up now while we're hearing it, lest God shake the earth and he really gets our attention. Be seated firm. Know your foundation. Our God is great. He's strong. He will stand for us. We just need to understand what that means. Sometimes through miraculous deliverance, like he did with Steve as those terrorists were coming in behind the fence that one night. So gently sometimes does God do a miracle, it appears to be something natural. Or we're living in the days when God says in the scriptures, men will hate one another and turn on each other. Evil days, days of terror. He's a powerful God we serve. And he loves. And yeah, and everybody's upset and everybody's concerned about things. But you know what? Our Goliath, in this case, he dies. And that's a good thing. And the things in our lives, they need to die. Maybe God wants to do some killing, so to speak, tonight with the things that trouble us. But the power of God, how do I say this in verse 51? We rarely take it seriously. We are guilty as a church, though I love this church. We're guilty. In verse 51, "Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword." People, David didn't have a sword. Whose sword is it? He took Goliath's sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him. Notice the stone didn't kill him. Who killed him? David killed him by the power of God. The stone stunned him. No doubt there was an angel, an angelic propellant behind the stone, okay? But David ran toward the battle. Christian, listen, we're so used to running away from the battle. I fear that we have weakened our position, even as a nation, let alone as a church, or let alone as a person, or let alone as a family. We run away from the battle in fear. We need to believe our God and advance forward. It's just that our implements are spiritual implements, okay? Told you this before, I'll say it again. I don't care how many nuclear bombs we have. We're not going to win this war unless people pray. You understand that? It doesn't matter. There was a terrorist attack in France, in Paris. And Jacques Chirac sent a message to the king of Saudi Arabia. You know what that message said? If there's one more terrorist attack that we find linked to Saudi Arabia in any way, shape, or form, did you read it? We will bomb Mecca. There has not been one terrorist attack in France since. Okay, you say, well, see, it works, it works. Only for a season. This is a spiritual war. America's involved in a spiritual war. She better wake up and pray. Because right now she's falling asleep, or she's asleep, trusting in weapons and bombs and stealthy things and little remote control airplanes. that take pictures. That's what we trust in. We got satellite technology while this lunatic's running around on a donkey. Who's winning the war? Don't be surprised if this fall, I told you, terrorist bombs go off in malls across America around November or December. Who's going to win the war then? You can't send bombers to Saudi or Iraq or anywhere else when you ain't got people buying products at home. It fuels the economy that keeps it going. Think about it. You law enforcement officers, you already know about it. Who's winning the war? I do not believe America will win this until we get on our face and pray. And until we have a president that stands up and says, you know, we're not going to pray to every kind of Jim Jaw God in the universe. I'm sick and tired of this ecumenical bozo-ness. You know, we're praying to the God of the kangaroo rat, and we're praying to the God of this and the God of that. And let's all get together and hold hands. And you pray to this God, and we have some big prayer rally, and you pray to all these things. God is not going to listen. He says, if my people who are called by my name, he says, my name. God has not only told us that he's got a name, he told us his name. I was in Germany a couple weeks ago, and I asked a Muslim man, what is Allah's name? Allah is Arabic for God. That's all it is. It's a title, God. What's his name? Well, Allah. I said, I thought Allah means God. He said, it does. In Arabic, it's God. But what's his name? Because he doesn't have a name. We don't know his name. Think about it. Broke my heart. Why should I stand in a room and I know the name of my God and the nature of my God? He's a loving God. He doesn't want the world to perish. He wants the world to have life. And the world is saying, Islam, Islam, Islam. Submit, submit. To who? Goliath, what do you want? Who do you want us to surrender to? The poor man is hopeless. He's got an entourage of gods that can't help him. I've got quite a few bucks saved up, Pastor Jack. I don't need your God. I'll take care of it on my own. Or I've got some gold coins, or I've got some land, or I've got some time, or I've got some whatever. Listen, be careful. Listen, we rarely by faith take on our problems. Did you hear how I said that? We rarely by faith take on our problem. It's our problem, but we belong to God. He's gone to great lengths to tell us that, which now what's bugging you is his problem. Have you noticed? This morning I got up early, drove down to the property, got my Bible out, read this chapter that we're in and a few other chapters of the Bible, looked at the building, and I said, it's too big. I said, God, it's too big. I've been telling this now ever since they put the walls up, I've been telling him, God, I think it's too big. And I've been reminding him, you have a huge, huge problem. Because God, I didn't ask for this. Your thing, it's you, you've done it. And the most beautiful thing about all that's gone on, the more you get behind the scenes, you know God did it. Because if anybody walks around here and says, yeah, we got it taken care of, let me know who they are. Tell me who they are. I want to know. Because I can honestly tell you that person knows nothing about what's going on. God's doing something. And I drive by and I go, Lord, it's so big. And it's so, you know, are you gonna be able to do this? You know, what's the thing here? And I start talking to him like he's somebody sitting next to me, and he like nudges me and says, hey, I'm not somebody sitting next to you. I'm sitting on a throne up here. I started something and I'm gonna finish it with or without you. I'm gonna do something here that's quite frankly none of your business. It's my business. And when I hear that and remember that and I look at the Goliath, and it could be whatever. Maybe the Goliath in your life isn't an apparent problem. What if it's a huge, huge blessing that's so huge? It's like, yikes. He says, I got it. I got it. Just keep your hands off it. I got it. Okay. But Lord, will you tell me that about every half hour? Listen, we really take it by faith. David, look what it says. It says that he took a sword. I love this. He took a sword and he drew it out of his sheath and he killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Time out. Wrong, wrong, wrong. That wasn't the deal. Stop. Somebody should have said, stop the footage. Stop. Cut. The deal was, earlier in this chapter, whosoever champion wins, the losers serve the winners. Remember? All of the Philistines were supposed to become servants of Israel. If David lost, vice versa, back and forth. Goliath goes down. Everyone's supposed to throw their armament up and say, we quit. The deal was whoever won wins the deal. Class, the enemy, even emotions within us, will lie to us every time. They'll never keep their word, ever. So in verses 52 to 58, watch what happens. We follow a God of great victory. Now the men of Israel, verse 52, and Judah arose and shouted and pursued. Can you mark that in your Bible? This is great. They arose. What were they? I want to ask the question. What were they doing beforehand? Were they sitting down watching this circus? Hey, look, there's a kid going out there. Let's watch this guy get eaten by this giant. By the way, details. David pulls the sword out of Goliath's sheath. And he probably, look, his armaments were huge. We read about them earlier. They're huge. He probably walked up over his chest, down his shoulder, and got the blade onto his neck. He walks backwards, then forwards. Walks backwards, then forwards. But of course, you know, devotionally, we got to put this to our spiritual battles, right? That thing that God's, that's been hassling you in your life, God wants you to cut that thing until it bleeds, you know. And some things in life, people, you got to cut off. You got to just cut them off. Maybe it's that person or that thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Winning the Battles of Life. Winning the Battles of Life is actually a multi-part mini-series taken from our journey through 1 Samuel. Of course, chapter 17 is the famous account of the Philistine giant Goliath being slain by young David. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a reminder that this series, Winning the Battles of Life, is all yours in a 5-CD set for your gift of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach. Remember that if you are a true believer, you are engaged in war. This principle is laid out for us in Scripture, both the Old and the New Testaments, and Pastor Jack lays it out for us in this series called Winning the Battles of Life. So here's our offer. For your gift to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio in any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-CD set called Winning the Battles of Life. Call, click, or write today. Just mention it by name, Winning the Battles of Life. Visit us at our new Real Life with Jack Hibbs website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then just click on Special Offer, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the mere cost of a stamp, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.